all comes out of reverence, and we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, which comes out of imitating our Heavenly Father's beloved children, which comes out of chapter 4, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So now we turn once again to Ephesians 6, verse 4. Listen carefully to God's holy and inspired word. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and the congregation said,
Amen.
So last week was, I know, hard on me, and I've heard from others, difficult for you, because we're confronted by sin. Last week we looked at not provoking our children, and the reality is, because we are sinful, we do provoke our children. Our sinfulness causes us to be selfish, proud, and easily irritated. At other times, our sinfulness causes us to be apathetic to our children. Parenting is tough work. Parenting is hard. It is constant work. And in this work, we are not to give in to our sinful nature. We are to resist it. We are to put it to death. And how we do so is by clinging to Christ's righteousness. We confess. We repent. We strive for new obedience. But please hear me. All of it only through Christ. Being utterly dependent upon him. And that brings us then to the positive command. The negative is, do not provoke your children. And now you have the positive. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And to begin, I want you to notice that just like children, there is an emphasis here. And just like children, it's not on children. Parents, it's not on you. It is on the Lord. As children are to obey in the Lord, parents have an overarching qualifier of the Lord. A Christian parent is not allowed to raise their children as seems best for them. A Christian parent is not allowed to say, that's how my parents did it. We're not allowed to look at the traditions of our forefathers and say, that's my excuse. We are to bring them up in the Lord. Just as a husband is an authority under authority, so parents are authorities under authority. We are held accountable to the Lord. As a Christian, you are never allowed to say, no one can tell me how to raise my children. You're not. Scripture is clear. You are always accountable and always under authority. God works through his church, and every Christian is a member of the visible church through the local church. And the church has the right and responsibility before God to encourage and correct its members. And parents, if you bow up at the idea of the church aiding you in your parenting, the challenge is never with the church. Paul has already taught us that being united to Christ means you are brought into the covenant community of God's family. And that you need that covenant community. And therefore, just as he's showing how submission is lived out in the home and community, just before he does that, he tells us we must submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You and I all have blind spots. We all have weaknesses. We also have strengths. And God brings us all together to aid one another to grow in his holiness. For instance, think of the vow that every member of every local ARP congregation makes when there's a baptism. Do you, the members of this congregation, undertake with these parents the covenant responsibility for the Christian nurture of this child? That is said whenever one of our covenant children is baptized, and that is affirmed by every member of the local congregation of the area. It's an easy vow to affirm, and just as easy to neglect. Parents, are you willing for the church to help you nurture your children? And if not, why not? Church members, are we actually helping nurture the covenant children of this congregation? To bring up our children according to the Lord requires active participation in His family, in the covenant community. It is no less than participating in corporate worship, but it is so much more. We are to open our homes to one another. We are to be willing to share our lives with each other. We are to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Now, this can be a very dangerous thing, and please hear me, this can be a very dangerous thing unless we all cooperate with Scripture. I am not to push my opinions and preferences on you, and neither are you. We are to aid each other in keeping God's commands. Parents, we are to bring up our children according to the Lord. And therefore, we must know what the Lord expects. And that brings me to the very beginning of this command, the positive command, the verb to bring up. We've already encountered this verb in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 29, most English translations interpret it more literally. There it's nourished. Some go very literal and feed. I have no idea why we use bring up here. Because personally, I think nourish is a much better word. Nourish is the idea of not just being well fed, but that all things are cared for. A nourished child is a healthy child. Parents, we are to nourish our children according to the Lord. We are to give them everything they need to become mature in the Lord. Again, this is not less than participating in corporate worship. And Deuteronomy 6, the law actually helps us here. The law tells us what this looks like. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God in Deuteronomy 6 declares to his people that they are to so know and love God that in everything they do, they reflect him. They are to so know God. Now, when some take verses 8 and 9 literally, I don't think that's the intent. They are to so know God that everything their hand does is as if God is speaking. That everything their head thinks, it's as if God is speaking. That the door is so focused on him, that the house is so focused on him, that walking in, you feel like you've entered into another realm. Because the house is ruled by the Heavenly Father. That is what he's saying in Deuteronomy 6. That there's not a moment in our parenting where the Lord is not taught. That you can freely converse of God because that's who you think of the most. Yet it's more than words. It's your very actions. From chores to leisure to meal to bedtime. God is thought of. God is spoken about. God is copied. Do your children see you as a humble follower of Christ? Do they see that your goals, that your words, that your actions reflect your heavenly Father? Do they see fathers and mothers whose greatest joy is God? That the greatest fulfillment their parents have is knowing God? Do they see parents governed by the holy, infallible Word of God, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's awkward, even when it means in this world potentially losing out? And this is so much more than just prayers around the kitchen table or a daily time where scripture is read. Parents, your life needs to be so shaped by your heavenly Father that by your words and thoughts and actions, your children know you love God. To nourish our children according to God is to saturate their lives not only with scripture and prayer, but with an environment that is richly impacted by His grace, where forgiveness is quickly given, where repentance is common, where grace and mercy rule, and we are self-controlled in our anger. We are long-suffering. Families that delight in gathering to study His Word, to serve Him, to gather with the corporate body to worship. Nourishing your children in the Lord is much more than keeping them from evil. You have to be filling them up with God's grace. It's not either or, it's both and happening simultaneously. Think of the last two chapters of this letter to the Lord. Paul has been laying out all the nourishing works that a Christian needs. We abstain from what is bad while doing what is good. And to help us nourish our children in the Lord, the Holy Spirit gives us two words that define nourishment. And the ESV uses discipline and instruction, while the New King James and the NIV use training and admonition. And I want to explore the difference here, the challenges. The first word is paideia. It has a rich usage in the Greek and Roman culture. It has a broad and a narrow sense. And the ESV has chosen to use the narrow sense, discipline. And I'm sure that you've heard sermons that quickly link it to Hebrews 12 and the discipline of the Lord. Paideia is mentioned multiple times in Hebrews 12, and its focus there is on discipline or correction. Yet that's not the common usage for paideia. And as you look at Ephesians 6, you have to ask, well, what about the context of this letter? And also, what about the context of the culture? How would they understand paideia? Elsewhere in the New Testament, you encounter the broader sense. For instance, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Padilla is training things. Acts 7:22, and Moses was instructed, Padilla, in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, that he was mighty in his words and deeds. And then, when you look at Padilla within the Septuagint, which was the Bible that Jesus quoted from, and the apostles quoted from, the translation that was common, it's fascinating to see how Padilla is used. Because Padilla is used mainly in the broader sense. For instance, the book where Padilla is found the most is in Proverbs. And Proverbs uses Padilla 15 times for instruction, once for proverb, and only 5 times for discipline. Think of that. Padilla in Paul's day was mainly used for the broad sense of instruction. This broader sense included discipline. But it was so much more. Actually, padia in the Greek culture included everything a father was to teach his children so that they would be mature adults, except for one thing: vocational training. In Greek culture, the father didn't do vocational training. But the father was in charge of padia, instructing his children so that they would be adults. Think of what that means within this context. And when we come to examine the context in the letter, hopefully you grasp why we need to use the broader context, the broader sense of the word. Because everything Paul has taught us in the last 2 chapters would be, by his culture, considered padia. Chapter 4 and 5 and 6 is all about training you to be mature Christians. He is instructing us on how to be mature, how to grow up and be adult Christians. And in his culture, one word covered, padia. And then to fathers, he says, you are to padia your children. You are to instruct them, so that they will be mature. You are to instruct your children in everything you do. Think of what that means. Cleaning, laundry, vehicle maintenance, DIY projects, leisure, sports, and we could keep going on. All of it is to be padia for the Christian. You are to instruct your children in everything that they do, because your goal is that they are mature Christians when they leave your home. You are to establish their ethic system based upon Scripture. This is all padia. And you can see why people want to use the little sense, don't you? You can see why people, no, let's just do discipline. That's so much easier for you than instruction. To use the broader sense, that means everything. That means I have to consciously make sure when I'm playing catch with my children, when I'm asking them to clean out the car, when I'm asking them to help with the chores, that by my attitude and by my words and by my instruction, I am teaching them of God. Oh, the broader sense of padia is so much harder than the smaller sense of discipline. And by the context of Ephesians, I would argue Paul wants you to think of the larger sense. Are you irritable in your chores? Are you ungrateful in your vocation? Are you impatient with others? You are instructing your children. Are you generous with your time? Do you think the best of others? Are you more encouraging than critical? You are instructing your children. We are either instructing our children in righteousness or unrighteousness all the time. Where do they see God fitting in their life? Do they see you as dependent upon him? Do they see you praising him throughout the week? Or is God ignored until Sunday morning? In all of it, you are instructed. And as Deuteronomy 6 commands, we are to instruct of God in everything we do. That's the instruction. So that your children are not morally good. So that your children do not have a good reputation. You instruct your children so that they are godly. The second word that defines nourishing our children is nuthesis. And the word can be translated as instruction or correction. This word in lexicons is defined as corrective instruction. Padia is instruction. Nuthesia is corrective instruction. It is correcting by teaching. In English translations, what is often done is that one of these two words is chosen to be the negative and the other the positive. I have not found any English translation where they've taken the two negatives. I've only found one English translation where it uses them both positively, and this intrigued me because the one that uses both words positively is the Geneva Bible. And if you know anything about the Geneva Bible, you know it's the Bible the Puritans preferred. And this is what the Geneva puts it, this is how it translates. But bring them up in instruction and information of the Lord. Where Padilla mainly focuses on acts, how to act like a mature adult. Nuthesia is a verbal corrective behavior. Padilla has a broader context, a broader sense and a narrower sense. Nuthesia does not. Nuthesia is all about correcting behavior by instruction. Here is what you did wrong, here is why it is wrong, and here is the right way to do it. Okay, that is nuthesia. In nourishing our children, there must be correction and training. There must be instruction on what is right and what is wrong. And this is so much harder and time-consuming than merely saying, because I said so. Or saying, in this house, we will do it this way. Right? That's the easy way out. And parents, I get it. You come home and you're tired. And there has been sin. And your gut reaction, as your anger simply wells up inside of you, your gut reaction is, just going to deal with it, good enough. Scripture says, not good enough. You're the parent. You're to correct through instruction. This is why it is wrong. This is the right thing to do. And this is how you do it the right thing. And I know the response, but Jonathan, that will take so much more time. Doesn't the Lord do that for you? Hasn't he given you his holy word so that you know him and you know how he wants you to live? And only after you know that does he begin to discipline you. And always through instruction. God never disciplines you because he's had a bad day. God never disciplines you because he's just irritable. God always disciplines with the view of correction to right obedience. And that is what nuthesia is about. To not follow the pattern God establishes is to provoke our children. Our children must be instructed in the Lord, corrected when they fail, encouraged towards new obedience, and encouraged in that new obedience. Again, I said this last week, and just a rabbit trail. You know, I've worked in ministry now for almost 30 years. I've been amazed in the visible church. The idea that you shouldn't reward your children. Does God not reward you? Well, that's different. Imitate your heavenly Father's beloved children. What part of that allows you to not do what he does? If God rewards us for good works that he made us beforehand to do, and he enables us to do, why don't we? You ever ponder that? But God sets a pattern for us. And I'm amazed in the visible church how we lean towards being a tyrant, not a loving mom. How we lean towards severity and never tenderness. We are to correct, but we need to heed the warning of this verse. We cannot be severe towards you because your God is never severe towards you. Yes, he disciplines you. Yet that painful discipline is never done to beat you down so that you cannot rise. As a matter of fact, listen to Psalm 30 about God's anger. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Fathers and mothers, do you imitate your heavenly Father in this way? Is your anger brief and short, but your favor far greater? Fathers, are we training our children in the Lord? Are we actually training them because so-and-so says so, or because I feel like it? Is God spoken of constantly? Are his ways encouraged and promoted by you through word and deed? Fathers and mothers, do they look at you and say, I see a reflection of my loving Father in her? Fathers and mothers, this can only happen if we first know Christ. Hopefully you caught that with Deuteronomy 6. Did you catch that with Deuteronomy 6? Before you are to train your children, what must you first do? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. Fathers and mothers, you will not produce godly offspring if you first do not know Christ. You'll create good legalists. You'll create moral children. But unless you know the Lord first, you cannot instruct them in the ways of the Lord. You must first be walking in a manner worthy of your calling, as Ephesians 4 commands. There's no amount of discipline. There's no amount of behavior modification. There's no amount of instruction that will make up for a shallow spiritual life or no spiritual life. To train up a child in the way he should go, you must first make sure you are in Christ. It's the only way it works. Your children do not need riches or fame. They need the Lord. And God, in his wisdom, has declared, you are the ones to raise them up to know him. That should be humble. Because we know we sin. We know we fail. But God has so loved you that he's entrusted his children to you so that you will cling to him and raise them up the way he commands. And the the only way to do that is that we must make sure we are walking in a manner worthy of our calling. We need to make sure that our heart is for God. We need to make sure that our only hope is Christ. And then we will be able to instruct our children. Know the one who loves me. Know the one that I'm dependent upon. And as you instruct them, they'll say, Mom and Dad, we see it. We see it in your prayers. We see it in your discipline. We see it in how you treat others. Yes, we can follow your God because you are following. Fathers and mothers, we are to instruct and we are to correct our children in the Lord. And that begins with, are we the Lord? Our most merciful God. Father, we come before you, and Lord, the task that you've given to us is great, it is humbling. It is a task that on our own we will always fail to accomplish. But with you, you, the one who grants us salvation, with you this can be done. As your Spirit works obedience in us, so we are able to encourage our own children to obey. We are able to encourage our own children by the way we live to know you. Oh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray for the families gathered here this morning. I pray for parents, Father, that they would continue to strive to love you with all that they are, so that as they raise their children up, they can rightly say to their children, know the God who loves me. Know the God who provides. Know the God who forgives me. Father, children can turn around and do the same to us. And generation after generation, you will instruct in the Lord. And you will continue to save your people to the praise and glory of your name. Oh, Father, continue to do great things in and through us, we pray. Christ's name. Amen. In preparation for the Lord.